It's important to remember that we've all just inherited this practice of eating animal foods. None of us, I don't think, would have chosen this on our own. We had to be taught how to do it. We had to be forced into it by our culture at an early age. You can see it if you go into any grocery store. Just go to the baby food section and you'll see it right there. Baby food for the youngest little babies already has chicken, veal, turkey, and cheese in it. There's always meat and dairy right in there, practically from the very beginning. So we get our youngsters used to eating the flesh and secretions of confined animals from the beginning of their lives. This is something that we inherit. It's not something that we would choose, and it's forced upon us generation upon generation in the deepest way as part of growing up. It's done in a way that's hard for us to ever question. I think the interesting thing about indoctrinated beliefs, like the belief that I need to eat animals to get enough protein, is that we cannot question it easily because it's not a belief that we arrived at freely. It was a belief that was forced upon us. Beliefs that are forced upon us are hard to question because they're not really our beliefs, but we've been forced into believing them at a young age. So when someone questions these indoctrinated beliefs, we just don't like to hear it. We try to change the subject. I see this all the time. If someone brings the subject up, it's amazing how fast people can just change the subject, or else suddenly need to leave, or perhaps lash out and try to silence the questioning. We do something like that. Not an intelligent response. A response of just reacting because it's not our freely arrived at belief that we want to eat animal foods, but we believe it because we were forced to at a young age, and it was continually reinforced by our parents, neighbors, teachers, and the media. There is social pressure that's brought to bear upon us our entire life to view animals as mere commodities to be used for food. Once we use them for food, then we can also use them for clothing, for leather, for products, for research, for entertainment. All kinds of pain are inflicted on animals. A wild animal will not do tricks or obey a human unless he or she is being in some way put into pain. Animals in circuses, rodeos, and zoos have food withheld from them, or they are beaten or electroshocked in order to control them. This includes dolphins, elephants, lions, and all the animals used for entertainment and so-called education. Our use of animals for food and other forms of exploitation comes from this idea that they are mere commodities, and that's promoted by the social pressure of the culture we're born into. The other thing, of course, is that we like how they taste. But enjoying the taste of their flesh or of their secretions is obviously no reason to harm them, simply for our passing pleasure. A man might enjoy sexually using someone, but if he uses that justification to rape someone, he sows seeds of suffering that will eventually harm him just as he harms and uses others. And taste is something that's very changeable. Research into taste has shown that tastes have to be continually reinforced to be maintained. I found this for myself. It took me a few weeks to have my taste buds change over from enjoying or being used to the taste of hamburgers, hot dogs, cheeseburgers, eggs, and all that, to grains and vegetables. Nowadays, there are a lot more animal-free food choices available than when I began exploring vegetarianism. There are meat and dairy analogs that are designed to taste a lot like animal products. And it takes only about 3 weeks for the taste buds in our tongues to completely change over. So 3 weeks is all it should take at the most for a new set of tasters in our mouths that wouldn't be conditioned by the old tastes anymore. So these three powers, indoctrination as infants, and then social pressure as we live our lives, and then taste, are all powerful factors. And yet what they're forcing us to do goes deeply against our own inner nature. We know it's wrong, for example, if we see a man with an umbrella that we would like to have, to just go up to him and hit him or kill him and take his umbrella and use it for ourselves. If we did that, we'd face all the consequences of our culture, because our culture believes in protecting its inhabitants, at least those that are humans. Of course, there's a definite hierarchy of concern. If you're a male, if you have money, if you're beyond a certain age, your interests will most likely be protected by laws and social structures. Anyone who violates your interests will face powerful social consequences. Children, females, people of color, and people without money have less protection. Beings who are not human have even less protection. Animals used in food production have virtually no protection. In fact, it's just the opposite. If I can find a female cow and kill her babies and steal their milk and sell it for money and then kill her, then I get profusely rewarded. There's nothing worse than you can imagine doing to a mother, but that's what we do, and we get paid and respected. We make a living. We have a very powerful voice in Congress. The dairy industry is one of the most powerful voices there is in Congress. The dairy and egg and meat industries and pharmaceutical and medical industries are extremely powerful voices, not only in Congress, but also in our media. So not only do we do things that are incredibly damaging to other living beings and that violate their interests and harm them, but we're rewarded for doing it. There are no negative effects at all. If we barbecue an animal's ribs, everybody says how great it tastes. This is the culture we've been born into. If we had been born in northern India and we tried barbecuing some cow's ribs, we could be arrested and put to death. But we're not born into that culture, we're born into this culture. So it's important, I think, to recognize that a lot of our ideas are coming from our culture, and therefore it's important to leave home, metaphorically speaking. Leaving home is a nearly universal spiritual teaching, propounded, as we know, by Jesus as well as by other spiritual teachers. Leaving home is about questioning the underlying assumptions of our culture, and this is essential because until we question the underlying assumptions of our culture, we won't be able to grow spiritually, and we won't be able to live an ethical life that's truly in harmony with a higher set of values, because our own culture's set of values is still based on domination and violence. By leaving home, we can become a healing force, a force for positive transformation in our culture. Thank you.